It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Oh, the old sound, the lovely noise, the lovely theme tune.
I love that tune.
Welcome back to another episode of your favourite golf podcast. It's Golf is Ruining My Life. I am host number one, Tom Green.
I am also host number one, Tom Price.
That's true. And can I just say?
Oh yeah, go on. Go on, then just say it, Tom.
I just want to say.
It's our podcast, mate. We can say what we like.
I just want to say that this is the first time that we've done this podcast in a long time where it's not 7 o'clock in the morning, yeah. And we're like, oh God, we've got to do this today, and then I've got to go and do a radio show. Yeah. You join us, friends, at 8:30 in the evening. Everyone's gathered around my house. It's freezing cold outside. It's nice and warm in here.
Can you hear the pitter-patter of Tom Green's little dog Turtle in the background as well?
Yeah.
That just adds to the sort of hygge, cozy vibe that we're trying to give off for you today. Fireside chat about golf.
And all we've got to do is talk about golf.
I know, it's quite nice, actually.
It's really nice, man.
Let's just all take a moment. But can I tell you something?
Yeah.
This is the longest I've gone without playing golf for years. The last 3 weeks I have not played because of my stupid leg.
You've not played?
I've not played for 3 weeks. So, oh. I know. So I feel like I have this dormant force of good in my life. It's like I'm religious and I've just put my religion away for 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
So I'm just about to come back to it again. It's like, oh, golf.
It's time to return.
It's time. When I go back to bed in the middle of the night, I don't even think about golf. That was my default way of going back to sleep, was to lie down and think about golf shots. Makes me realise, now I've had time off, I was really obsessed with golf.
Oh, you've had a bit of a enlightenment moment.
I remember you having this in, you know, season two or whatever it was. You got the job doing radio.
Yeah.
And you left our magical summer behind and kind of, you know, used golf as an enjoyable thing. Whereas I think I was using golf as a filling a lot of my time thing.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm like, I'm going to just enjoy it when I go and play again. There's an idea.
Wow. So you're not chasing a number. You're not chasing a score. You're not trying to get better constantly.
I think I probably will get to that stage. But I feel very much like a man walking into a bar saying, I'm just going to have one. But
yeah.
Of course, by midnight, I'll be lying in my own sick, trying to go on.
But midnight might take till June next year.
Well, that's the other thing. Because now, here's the thing. We're in December. And there's a strong argument for saying, we're not halfway through the bad stuff weather-wise, right?
No, we're
nowhere
near.
There's a lot of bad stuff to come.
Oh, we're just putting our tiptoe in.
But we've done some of the hard yards. We've done, you know, November, December are really dark times.
Yes. Yeah.
For golf, just because there's no daylight, so short. It, like, you go and you can't tee off after one.
Now, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer.
That's usually my job.
But I think there's far worse to come. So this podcast is going out the start of December. Normally, you can get a lot of good golf away in December. Yeah. December's normally fine for me.
Sort of crisp.
Crisp, fine.
Yeah.
It's nice to be playing in the cold again. It's sort of okay.
There's a novelty element to it.
Totally novelty. I think it's January, February, March.
This
where the drudgery, the sludgery, the treachery. I can't think of any more.
Travesty.
No. So
the worst month of the year to play golf in.
February. February's the worst month. Or January. Screw January.
It's January. Should I tell you why?
January's such a little shit, man.
January's the worst for everything, right? Because
yeah.
It's long and there's no hope. And you've just had a great time at Christmas. February, I don't think, is that bad because it's short. And part of you is going... Masters.
Yeah, it's
masters.
Coming.
Right now, my Masters...
Alarm. Radar,
let's go with that one. It's kind of like... Masters.
Yeah.
But by February, it's like Masters. And by March, it's like Masters.
It's coming.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So February has hope. January is the really tough.
It's so shit. But anyone knows that, hey, come on, guys.
Cheer up, mate.
This is a golf podcast in December. Do you know what you need?
I need... Do you know what I'd love, actually? I don't know if you've got a beer, have you?
Hello!
He's standing up. He's
I got a beer, Tom Price.
He's walking over to the side. And, oh.
Oh, Turtle, that you were in.
Turtle the dog also interested. Can you use Turtle as a bottle opener? Will she be...
Have I got a beer?
This is amazing.
So let me just... This is... Really is very exciting on the old podcast.
Yeah, here. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Shall we just...
Oh. Oh, really nicely done, Tom.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'll do that better.
Good job. There's two. We go again.
Ooh. It sounded a bit like a wet fart.
Yeah.
But hey, it's okay. Mm. Here.
Just bring it over. Here we go. That's great. Thanks, Tom, for bringing me this beer. Oh, let's just... Oh, so Tom, tell me a little bit about this Ace Lager that you just handed to me. The 19th hole brewing Ace Lager. Tell us about this. Ace Lager.
I'm going to wait for the camera to be back on the tripod. Then
absolute
I'll tell you.
Pro. I mean, I'm just thinking about my listeners, mate, because you know it's all about the podcast for me.
So thank you to the lovely guys at Ace Lager, 19th Hole Brewing, who have sent us these lovely golf-related beers.
This is great.
Thank you so much, guys. Genuinely, this is really, really kind of you and really, really nice of you. It's what you drink at golf. Here at 19th Hole Brewing, we're passionate about beer and golf. So we've created Ace Lager, a premium, refreshing beer for the ups and downs of golf. See what you did there?
I like this as Ace Lager because, of course, Ace is hole in one.
Yeah.
Right? So what you should do is get like two or three boxes of this and just keep them in your locker in case you get a hole in one.
Oh, that would be nice.
Drinks are on me, guys. Ace Golf. There you go.
Genuinely, Ace, I'm going to have a look. I'm going to have my first sip.
Here we go.
Oh, it's good.
Oh, that's absolutely ace. Oh, thanks very much, guys.
As really a man nice. That's on quite a big diet at the moment, it has a bit of... hold on.
It's a bit hoppy. Is that going to go straight to your tiny mind now?
It's a little bit like a less fizzy Corona. It's really good. Anyway, genuinely, that really means a lot that someone would send something like that to us. If you ever want to send something to the show, that's absolutely fine. The Toms at golfisruinedmylife.co.uk.
Can it only be positive things? I don't want any sort of turds in a bag. Not again.
Oh, should I just... Please. I just feel like I really should check that email because the co.uk/com scenario...
It's co.uk.
Is
the Toms at golfisruinedmylife.co.uk.
Absolutely. It is .co.uk. If you ever want to send us anything, the Toms at golfisruinedmylife.co.uk give you a little address to send it over and you can send it over to the show and we'll give it a little taste.
Yeah, nice.
Genuinely very nice. Thank you to the guys that did that. It's really nice to have a beer with you, Tom, on a Wednesday evening.
Yeah, really a much needed beer. It's been a long few days and now all I do is look at my diary and try and work out where can I slot a bit of golf in. Not even 18 holes, like just a little 9 holes.
I played 9 holes the other day.
Go on.
I played 9 holes at a... I'm going to describe this as a muni. You know what I mean by muni, don't
municipal.
You? Municipal. I don't think that word means that much in the UK, in my opinion. I think muni's more of an American term.
Oh, yeah, muni isn't...
Doesn't really mean anything, does it?
No. We call them municipal.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But even a municipal, what does that mean?
It's council. It's owned by the council, right? It's like a... It's not private. It's like public land.
But do we have those in the UK?
Yeah, of course. There's municipal courses. Yeah,
I played a muni the other day. It had every...
Stop calling them munis. It's municipal.
I played a municipal the other day. It had all the trappings of a municipal.
Oh, God. What are the trappings? What are the signs that you're playing a municipal course?
I think the trappings are, one, there'll be people walking on the course.
Yeah. Who aren't golfers.
They're definitely not golfers.
Right.
Paths. Across the course.
Yeah.
So you'll
That's good. More obstacles to get around, more things to think about. I like that.
Is it? Is it good? Is it bad? No defined fairway or rough.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely not.
And putts are about sort of, you know, 3 or 4 feet.
Take it or leave it.
Just whack it at the hole.
It's going to wiggle, guys.
There's going to be things. Yeah, it's not going to be a spike mark.
No.
That it hits. It'll be a mole. Not even a mole hill, an actual mole.
But I'm very conscious, right? That I think on this show, I think we're very balanced, personally.
Well, you come across as the golf snob, and I'm a golf everyman.
Is that true? I don't think that's true.
Not in the least. But...
I'm just very conscious that on... We shouldn't care about what people say about the show online, Tom, but I do. Mm. People have called us Tories and up our own arses.
And we're Lib Dems. At best.
Sometimes, you know. Until they screwed the students, but it's just not important. So I'm just conscious of... I played in muni, which you get to a certain point of golf, and I think when you play golf so much and you're obsessed by it, you sort of migrate to a slightly better golf course. I imagine. I can't see that many.
There are really, really good municipal courses. That's the first thing to say.
Of course.
Like the one I used to play at when I was at uni at Warwick, I think it's Leamington Spa, maybe, is a municipal. Somewhere around there is a really good municipal course. So there are those really, really good ones, right? But you're right. There are obviously. There are. If I played at a municipal with my brother near Bristol the other day, and exactly what you said. Oh, there's some people having a lovely walk. Watch out for the pram. But there can still be a test.
And I'm not denying that. However, I would just say there's very few golfers who are off scratch at a muni, or at least the sort of munis that I have in my head. As I say, I don't know if I understand what the municipal means so much, because I think the example's far more prominent in America between a muni and... Because in America, from my understanding, it's munis... And then country clubs.
Yeah, that's right.
And country clubs are so snobby.
As with a lot of things in America, the gap between rich and poor is absolutely vast when it comes to golf.
Totally.
If you're on those private, like you say, country courses, it's multiple tens of thousands to join.
And
so there's a really good story about Martin Sheen. You know the actor Martin Sheen?
Yeah.
Who he played President Bartlett in The West Wing. Brilliant actor. Incredibly good golfer. Incredibly good, like could have been a pro,
right?
One of those. And he would always drive around with a set of golf clubs in the boot, and he will always go and play the American munis.
Yeah.
And loads of private clubs when he was super famous asked him to join, and he's basically a communist. he refused them all. He doesn't play on private courses. He only plays on muni courses. So I think the standard of the munis in America is higher than it is over here, if that makes sense.
You think munis in America are better than munis in the UK?
I think so, yeah.
So what I'm just trying to say by that is that we get called all sorts online about our views on golf, right?
Yeah, correct. And, good lads, well said.
Yeah,
finally someone's called it out. Who wants to go on a lads trip? Thanks, you're right.
All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I love your Wentworths. That's a part of golf that I find fascinating. And it really interests some people, and some people don't care. But I love the upper echelons of golf. But I started playing golf at Preston Golf Club in Preston, where the membership were the most down-to-earth, normal people ever. But fundamentally, Preston Golf Club was not a muni. That's a private members golf club.
But it was very accessible. Because the thing is...
I played for £100 a year. Right. That was my joining. That's what I paid.
Right. All these private golf courses in this country, they are so much more accessible.
Yeah.
Than, obviously, there's going to be the top tier that are still super pricey and getting more and more expensive. And unless we are, you know, Tom Green, we're not going to be joining those. Like, you know, when you're joining fees, like hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Yeah, Wentworth. Joining fees, hundreds of thousands of pounds.
And, you know, if you've got that money, all power to you. Amazing. But there's also a lot of courses that are really, really good. And the price to get in and join those and play those courses has dropped a lot because otherwise the courses go under. They need people. They need the public to come and play.
But to go back to my point that I started about 5 minutes ago.
Sure.
I played 9 holes of golf the other day with my friend Louis, who's an avid listener of this show. So thank you, Louis. And he's coming to my wedding and all this sort of stuff, and he's not played much golf.
Right.
So he was like, I'm going to start getting better at golf, and I'm using your wedding as a reason to do it.
Nice.
Brilliant.
Love that.
So I was like, okay, let's go and play 9 holes of golf.
Warming up for the wedding.
Exactly.
Good.
Firstly, we had to tee off at 2 p.m. to get 9 holes in.
To get 9
so
holes
depressing.
In. This is the, I mean,
this is winter.
This is the thing about this year. And you get to that point where it's like, I can't actually see where the ball's gone, and it's 3:30.
Yeah.
Guys, in Scotland, what's it like in Scotland at the moment? It must be getting dark even earlier there.
Is Scotland not the other way around? Doesn't it stay lighter for longer in the winter?
Oh.
I think as you go further up, it stays lighter.
What, but
doesn't
then?
It?
Oh, God.
Doesn't it? Scottish people?
Let us know, thanks.
God. Anyway, so I played 9 holes, had to tee off at 2 o'clock to get 9 holes in, and it was a proper muni.
Yeah.
People walking all over the place, people in jeans, so chill.
Yeah.
And I had a really good time.
I mean, that's it, isn't it?
I had a really fun time.
As long as they understand the word for.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
And my God, did we need it?
I mean, do you have to think about that? If you're on a muni course and you've got people walking through in jeans with the pram and stuff who don't know anything about golf, does someone have to explain? If you hear someone shout for, probably a man screaming for, get out of the way.
I think because if you're otherwise, walking through a golf course, you should know.
Otherwise,
that, right?
You're going to see someone, you're on a muni, and you're going to see a family walking through, and you're going to go, I've got to tell them. And they might not know what for means. So I'm just going to go, King, move!
Yeah.
Well, look out, there's a golf ball coming your way.
I am me and Louis were going around, and because he's a new golfer, it's so funny. Sporting etiquette. Here's such a huge question.
Oh my God.
Sporting etiquette is so funny. I went, because I'm not a big football fan, and I went to the Man City Liverpool game the other
week. I know you did, and I'm a big Liverpool fan.
Oh yeah. 1-1.
1-1. Yeah. Did you pretend to be a City fan for the day?
Oh, come on. I'm enough of a City fan to some degree.
Really?
Yeah, not really.
No.
But my mate was said to me, my mate made a joke afterwards. He was like, couldn't bloody shut you up through the game, could I? I was like, oh, I'm not supposed to talk. I'm supposed to just watch the game.
You weren't talking to me.
I was talking for the whole time.
Oh, Tom.
I started talking about the European tour. I did. I was like, you know, the DP World Tour these days, it's actually in a pretty good place. You're trying to watch the Liverpool City game. He was like, you were talkative. But anyway, like sporting
etiquette. Yeah.
Football's one thing.
Mm.
Try to teach Louis golf etiquette. It's a minefield, isn't it?
That is a great, great question. The if you've got someone who's just starting to play, what are the top three things you tell a new golfer in terms of etiquette when they're just starting? Hold that thought. Give us the answer after a little break.
Can I also say something else that's coming up after the adverts?
Yes.
I just want to quickly, because the shows are so busy at the moment with so much going on.
Yeah.
After the adverts, we'll have that.
Yes.
After the adverts, there are also, I've got a couple of amazing book recommendations, golf books to read over Christmas.
Oh, good.
That I've
good.
Absorbed and
strong.
Loved.
Strong, okay.
And we're going to give the first of our golf balls away.
Oh, those all money. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, welcome back to another episode of Golf is Ruining My Life. The question being, what's the one bit of etiquette that you would teach to a new golfer that's really important?
So you've got a new golfer. You're taking them out for their first 9 holes. I mean, knowing when to shut up is big, right? Knowing when it's like you can't be talking when someone's playing a shot. Yeah, but she's just over there. It's all right. She can't hear me. No, yeah. You can't. You just can't. Like, and there's another thing as well. If you're walking down a fairway and you see someone nearby playing a shot going up the other way.
Yeah, stop.
Right.
Yeah,
the stop. People often feel like if they're on the fairway, they're in a little bubble and they can shout and make as much noise as they like. And it's like they can hear you. They're right there.
I think a key as well for a new golfer is if you are holding people up, let them play through.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be so helpful. If you're finding yourself like in the rough, in the trees, in the rough, in the trees, and people are getting behind you. Wave, do the wave.
Yeah.
Move out of the way.
Let them through, man.
Let them play through.
Just let it go.
I think that's probably enough. Don't talk on people's shots.
Yeah.
Let people play through if they're right up your ass. And if people are sort of having a shot near you, even if it's not part of your game, be quiet.
I would also say pick up once you get to 10.
Really?
That's what we do with my son. Not anymore so much because he's a bit older now, but when he was like 7.
I've scored plus 10 on the course before.
Okay, maybe it's a kids thing when you're playing golf with kids and they get to like... It's just going like they miss it, air shot, it goes a foot.
Yeah.
Air shot, it goes a foot.
Because I think you've got to be careful with that, not to dishearten a golfer who's just started and be like, you've had 10 shots, like, come on.
No,
like,
that's true.
They deserve to be able to finish the hole, you know?
Golf will dishearten them. Golf will destroy their soul. So that's fine. Let golf do the damage. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you've got, that's a good tip. Someone new is coming to golf, just let golf do its thing and ruin them.
Because it will.
Yeah, it will.
Because it will.
Let it happen, and it's really enjoyable to watch. The schadenfreude of just going, oh, I remember when I did that.
I really love playing around this muni in, Tottenham, near Tottenham Way in London. It was in East London, like towards Essex, that way.
Okay.
People probably know it on the comments, which of course it was. And I really enjoyed it, and he got his first par with me.
Amazing.
Which was...
Amazing.
Such an amazing moment.
What, four? What were we talking? 3, 4, 5?
4, it was a 4. Which leads me to the question, which golf shots and scores do you remember the most?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I mean, there's two that spring to mind. One is one of my holes in one when I was 14 years old.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
And I thinned a 2-iron, the green was miles below me. And if it wasn't, the ball would have gone about this far off the ground.
Yeah.
And it just went straight down, hit the bank, and then went in. So I'll always remember that shot. And I will always remember my last wedge in on the 18th when I was scoring my best ever score, 2 over par.
Yeah, I remember this round.
And I remember shaking as I...
That's so nice.
And it went right in the middle of the green.
One of mine's with you.
Oh, really?
There was a par 3 on Muswell Hill where I stuck it to about that far and I took a photo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was ridiculously close to a hole-in-one.
So close to a hole-in-one. I've never had a hole-in-one. That was my closest moment.
Yeah.
Was that. I remember quite a lot of shots, but like, I remember remembering... There's one for you. Yeah. I remember remembering, this is my first birdie. but I don't remember where it was.
Oh, so annoying.
I think it was at a golf club in Peterborough.
Right.
In lockdown.
Ugh.
I don't think I'd had a birdie before that.
Had you broken in during lockdown?
No, they gave me 6 month membership in lockdown. That was a great day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I remember that shot. I've hit a great drive on the Muni the other day. Mm. Final par five, straight down the middle. Oh, the drive.
Really making me want to get back into golf again. Yeah. It's coming back to me. And just talking about it with you, it's like I'm coming out of a coma, a non-golf coma. You know what I mean?
Do you want some golf book recommendations?
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
I've got some amazing golf books that I've read recently that I think you will really, really enjoy reading.
Yeah, go on.
So this is the first one by Alan Shitnook.
Oh.
Very famous golf commentator.
Yes.
Live and Let Die. It is a book on live golf and the transition into live golf and how we got to where we were. The inside story of the war between the PGA Tour and live golf. Alan Shitnook. It's really good.
It's a great name, Alan Shitnook.
It's a great name and it's a great book. And I tell you what, it's a damning insight into
who comes out worse, Liv or PGA? Greg Norman, surely he's the baddie.
Greg doesn't come out looking great, if I'm honest with you.
Who's the biggest baddie from the book?
I think Mohammed bin Salam, who's the crown prince, I think, of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
and some of the questionable things that have gone on around the public investment fund.
Great.
And the there's quite a famous murder of a journalist.
Yes, of course. Yeah,
that I don't think all this stuff was brought up enough during the time,
in my opinion.
Like, now I know a little bit about it and the money, where the money in the PIF has gone and all this sort of stuff. I just think there was far better arguments for people to argue against the money than were used at the time.
So do you now feel differently about Liv, having read that book? I'm bearing in mind that Saudi Arabia have bought golf, certainly professional men's golf.
They've
bought very little, unless you're proposing to buy it back with the proceeds of this show.
No.
It's one of those things where you're like, well, you can feel what you feel. It's very much happened and we are where we are. Do you know what I mean?
The sad thing is, from reading the book, is doesn't matter what you feel, money won.
Yeah. Oh,
won.
Money won. The famous the past tense of won. How was your golf?
I tried to make point.
It doesn't matter how you feel, money won. I mean, that is so good. Please, there's no way you're picking that up. That is not being edited out. That's going in.
I've gone red. I'm really embarrassed.
That's so good. The winner takes it all. The losser standing tall.
It doesn't matter what you think. Money won.
It's interesting. Can I just say, this is the first podcast we've recorded whilst drinking. So
money won.
You do the maths.
Oh. Mm.
Money won.
That's really annoying because I felt like I was making a good point there. And then I said,
still a very good point.
Then I said, one.
Yeah. You know what?
Let me skirt back.
Yeah, but you're not picking up, to be clear.
No. This is a good stay here. Money one.
Yeah, yeah, good.
I think that's what this episode should be called.
Yes.
Money. Doesn't matter what you think. Money one.
That's going on the merch. Money one. Thank you.
Money one. Hashtag money one. It doesn't matter what you think because that's the depressing thing about the whole thing is look at Rory and what he stood for and the stress that he put himself through and the arguments that Monahan made against Liv and where the money came from. They were all bought in the end and that's so depressing.
And Rory has no choice now.
Nope.
There's nothing he can do. Like the whole thing's been bought.
Yep.
No matter how principled you are, the only thing he could do, literally, it would be to change sports.
Yeah, would be going or try and get a different, set up a different league.
I mean, it's just impossible.
It's not gonna
happen. So what's he supposed to do? He has to just keep his counsel now and do what he's done. He's moved off, or he's off the PGA advisory board. He's doing his thing with Tiger in the brilliant arena that's been destroyed.
So that's the interesting, the whole argument around that that's mentioned in this book is that was set up almost like as an anti-Liv thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now they're all the same. Mm. The argument is that that's never actually going to happen.
No.
Like...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you think there was some dastardly doing going on with that venue?
Genuinely, I've not actually seen that.
Did it burn down or the roof fell off or something?
It was the wind. The wind whipped through it and pulled it apart.
Saudi Arabia went and burnt some more oil to increase climate change and make the wind happen.
And went through it. Mm. But that's the thing is they've pushed... Like, it got knocked down a bit and they've pushed it back a year.
Well, they had to because they can't slot it. January is the only window when they could get everyone there.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
The other thing that's happening at the moment that's bubbling away in professional golf world, and this is all just rumours and speculation at the moment, so this is all very much allegedly, but John Rahm, there's talk of John Rahm going to LIV.
Yeah, so we're talking on the 29th of November. By the time this goes out, this might be confirmed.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me now. No. It would not surprise
me. They tried
at all.
To get him last time. Didn't they? I mean, they tried to get everyone, but he really nearly went last
yeah,
time.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. They're all one family now. It's all one thing.
But I don't understand why LIV still exists. And how long is it going to exist for?
So the reason that Alan in the book says that LIV exists is really interesting. And I can't remember the guy's name. The guy who runs the PIF, so the Public Investment Fund.
Yes.
I can't remember his name. LIV's his baby.
Oh, I see.
It was all his idea.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
He came up with all
format
this. He loves the format. Yeah, okay. He's changed golf. Mm. So he's going to be very reluctant to let that.
And when you're the guy who happens to have the PIN number for the bank card for the Public Investment Fund.
Yeah.
What you want to do is what's going to happen.
Yeah. But there's interesting. They spoke in the book about the money was pulled back from after the first series.
Mm.
So the first year of LIV, because it's done two years. The first year of LIV, it was you can fly everyone everywhere, your caddies come with you, here's all these plane tickets that are never normal, everyone stays in the whole same hotel.
Don't forget, we heard rumors when we were playing with a professional golfer how much the commentators were getting paid.
Oh, again, yeah, people are getting a fortune.
Rumors, but pretty good rumors. A lot, like 6, 7, 8 times more than on, say, Eurosport.
So the when they went into the second year, all that started getting cut back.
Yeah.
So no flights for your caddies, and caddies stay in different hotels and all this sort of
okay.
stuff. And they've put the emphasis. I mean, read the book. The book's incredible. I read it in a week. It was amazing.
Any murders? Love a murder. Well, there was, wasn't there, with the bloody journalist.
The journalist.
Jesus.
Yeah, which is inside the... Was it the Turkish?
Yeah.
It was in embassy. The Saudi embassy in Turkey was there.
I mean, look, it's really unfortunate that this cloud of controversy has sat over golf for the last couple of years. And there's no sign of it going anywhere. Like,
no.
That's it. It's locked in now.
But do we believe... Here's the question, and here's what I landed on from reading the book, is that there was always this conversation of... Golf needs a shake-up. Golf needs changing. And I think we've shook it up in the wrong way.
Mm.
Okay? So let's look at last week, right? There are two DP World Tour events going on the same weekend.
It's ridiculous.
What?
I know.
So there's one in Johannesburg, I think.
Yeah.
And there's one in Australia.
Yeah.
It's just like, what's going on?
I know. And in Australia as well. Like, they really miss out on a lot of big golf events. Why isn't there a massive golf event
in
Australia?
Well, there is. There's LIV Adelaide.
Well, okay. But why isn't there a massive golf event for the PGA or the DP Tour that goes to Australia? Australia is warm at the moment, so why don't they all go over there and have like an Australian tour for 4 events or whatever?
I just don't think golf, and I'm a golf nerd.
Yes, you are.
I don't think it's structured well enough.
No.
I don't think it makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like, why don't we all just say that PGA Tour is the top of the tree and that this there's like something else that feeds into that and feeds to that. Let's forget all about these smaller tours. There's these just big tours that everything feeds into
to make
it all a little bit cleaner, and it all seems to make a bit more sense.
But also something else which we've talked about a lot on the podcast, which I'm really passionate about, is talking about you know, when you've helped out on the Challenge Tour stuff. There's so much. If you love the game, you don't need to be watching the top. It's like football, right? You don't all need to watch the Premier League and talk through Man City, Liverpool, right? You want to go and watch something like Challenge Tour, get really close to those players. This golf has got so many good products that are not being properly advertised and pushed out there at the moment.
Yeah. And I think that's, if there's any good that's going to come from the LIV Saudi money thing, it might be a streamlining and simplifying of the sport. Like, if they did manage to do to golf what they've done with F1, like a race every single weekend or every other weekend, and you are guaranteed the top performers. That's the problem with golf. And that's the reason it's hard to get it on TV money, because you're never guaranteed Rory.
We might not
want to play that event.
Yeah.
And even with the increase, this is what they're trying to do with these increased increased events, the elevated events.
Which Rory pulled out of.
Which Rory didn't even turn up and played.
Oh, Rory, it was
your
idea.
Do you know what I mean?
Idea.
Didn't even turn up and play.
You suggested that we have a party, and then we did a party, and you didn't come to the party, Rory.
Talking about a party, should we give someone a limited edition Pro V1 golf ball from the tour?
Yes, we only have a couple of minutes left of the show. Loads of you have been writing lovely comments on our, on the podcast, wherever you get your podcast from. You've been writing little reviews, and we have picked some random ones to give a very, very special prize.
So today's winner of a Pro V1, all you got to do now, this is where this competition does slightly fall apart.
Good, we love that.
The winner is Josh Wiz Williams.
Oh, okay. Well done, Josh Wiz Williams. Great name.
Well done, Josh Wiz Williams. However, Josh, you now have to email us.
Yes.
The Toms at golfisruinandmylife.co.uk and give us some details. I know what you're thinking, Tom. Anyone could email us.
And say, I'm Josh Wiz. So we need to see a picture of your passport?
It's, yeah, but he might have come up with a made-up name for the thing.
Driving license?
So what I'm just going to say is, don't do that.
Yeah, that's a really good system.
Only Josh email.
Have you thought of working for the police?
No.
And you could just go around to people who are about to murder.
Don't bother.
Don't. Whoa.
So here's what I'm saying. Josh Wiz Williams, who commented on the podcast on the 13th of November, you've won. Email us. And everyone else that's listening, don't pretend to be Josh.
Someone's now going to make a Gmail account with Josh Wiz Williams.
I know.
At gmail.com. Never mind.
Stop giving people ideas, man.
Sorry, but it's very easy to do. Congratulations, Josh. Thank you very much. And we will be giving away a golf ball on the next show as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't lose hope if you're not lucky enough to be Josh
Wiz Williams.
Williams.
Remember, if you want to get one of these limited edition tour only Pro V1s, all you got to do is subscribe to the podcast, go and comment to the bottom of it, and if you pick you, you'll win. Also, hilarious, we put this on TikTok, and people are like, there's no such thing as tour-only Pro V1s.
Oh, yes.
I know, but this is just a Pro V1. It says tour on it. It's still cool. Someone's like, I could go and walk around St. Andrews and pick up these. Not everyone lives near St. Andrews. Mm. So either you've got to go to St. Andrews, walk around the course and pick up golf balls, or you just comment on the podcast and you could win one.
I mean, what is the easiest thing to do there?
Exactly.
You don't live next to St. Andrews. That's about all we've got time for today.
Yeah, we've run out of time.
God.
Money won. I'm so embarrassed with Money Wan.
Money Wan, at the end of the day, Money Wan. Money was the big one.
I think the thing about
it was a 1-1 situation and Money Wan.
Is I was trying to be really prolific and it felt prolific.
It was great.
And then I said Wan.
Yeah. It was a shame because it was a good point. Money did win.
Yeah. Alan Shipnuck, Live and Let Die is the book. If you want to go and give it a read, it's a great Christmas read. Cheers. Oh, and thanks for the lager beers.
Thanks very much to Ace Lager for slightly derailing the podcast via the medium of alcohol. Cheers, guys.
19th hole brewing. We'll be back same time next time for more of the same. Cheers. Wan.
Wan.
It's embarrassing.
Sports Social Podcast Network.